Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Shalom, everybody. This is Bill Cloud. I want to welcome you back to our program. We are continuing a series that we called Israel, the Good Seed. And today we're going to continue on with that in discussing the heirs of Abraham. Who are the heirs of Abraham and why that's important for us in these last days? Now, in the previous program, we were talking about the fact that the Messiah is the good seed, but so is the body of Messiah. They are the sons of the kingdom, and the Messiah is the seed of the woman. But that means that the body of Messiah is also the seed of the woman, which also leads us to conclude that the body is synonymous with Israel, because Israel is not just exclusively, anyway, those that are born of the flesh and blood. It's not exclusive to that. In fact, we talked about and quoted Paul in Galatians 3, who made it very clear that those who are of faith are the heirs of Abraham. In fact, that this would be including those who were regarded as being Gentiles. And so you didn't have to necessarily be born, physically speaking, as a descendant of Abraham in order to be part of the covenant, that you may have been born out there amongst the nations. But if you exhibited faith like Abraham did when he heard the word of God and responded to it like Abraham did, then you're called the children of Abraham, whether you're Jew or non-Jew. So Paul goes on to say in that same chapter in verse 16, he says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Messiah." And so he identifies the Messiah as the seed of Abraham. And again, as I said earlier, he's also the king of Israel. He's the head of the body. He's all of these things. And so those who are in him are also these things. We're not the king of Israel, but we're part of the family called Israel. He's the seed of the woman, but we're the remnant of her seed. He is the good seed, but we are called the sons of the kingdom in Matthew 13. So then, because he is the seed of Abraham, guess what? If we are in him, that makes us also the seed of Abraham. And Paul verifies that for us in verses 26 through 29. He says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Messiah Yeshua. For as many of you as were baptized into Messiah have put on Messiah. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Messiah Yeshua. And if you are Messiahs, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And so again, just to kind of summarize that, it really doesn't matter if you're Jew or non-Jew. It doesn't matter if you're a physical descendant of Abraham or if you're not a physical descendant of Abraham. If you are in Messiah, who is the seed of Abraham, then you have put on Messiah, and that means you too are the seed of Abraham, and you're an heir according to the promises that were made to Abraham. So then again, the word of God, according to Mark chapter 4 in the parable of the sower, is the good seed. But we also understand that the Messiah personifies the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So if the word of God is the good seed, and the Messiah is the word of God, then Messiah is the good seed. But again, in the parable of the wheat and the tares, the good seed is sown in the field. And the Messiah says that the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. So because he is that good seed, we too are that good seed when we are in him. Because when we are in Messiah, we have put on Messiah. And so the body, the good seed, is comprised of those who are Jews, those who are ethnically Israeli, those who have been genetically born of Abraham. But the body, the good seed, the sons of the kingdom, is also comprised of those who were not the physical offspring of Abraham. It's both the natural branch and the wild branch too. And so all of these, whether they are natural or grafted, whether they're genetic offspring or just come into the family through the Messiah, they're all entitled to the promise that was made to Abraham. That's what Paul says in Galatians chapter 3. And so all of that, we boil it down, it means this, that Abraham's seed, those who are of faith, is equivalent to Israel. Israel is those who are of faith, whether they be natural born offspring or whether they be grafted in contrary to nature. If they exhibit the faith of Abraham, if they have been born again of that incorruptible seed and produce the fruit of Abraham, then they are called Israel. Paul again and again emphasizes how faith is the integral component of this, that without faith, it really doesn't mean anything. You can call yourself the son of Abraham all you want to, but if you're not exhibiting the faith of Abraham, then it's just shallow and hollow words. As a matter of fact, Yeshua verifies this point himself in a very interesting, a blistering exchange between some folks that, oddly enough, it says, believed in him. Let me read to you from John chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. He said, Yeshua said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? And so my point is, they thought, and keep it in mind, they believed in him. They thought that just because they were the physical descendants, flesh and blood offspring of Abraham, that they were, by consequence, the children of Abraham, the seed of Abraham. They thought it was just because we're descended from him. But Yeshua refutes this assumption, and in verse 37 through 41, here's what happens. He says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me. Here's why. Because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Yeshua said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. So here's what's going on. They think we're physical descendants of Abraham, and yet you're saying that we've been in bondage? We've never been in bondage. We are the physical descendants of Abraham. We are Israel. He says, I don't care if you are the physical descendants of Abraham. That doesn't matter if you're not doing the works of Abraham. If you were Abraham, my word would abide in you. But you're seeking to kill me. Abraham wouldn't do that because, you see, the works of Abraham and what you wish to do don't coincide. They don't line up. And so if Abraham wouldn't kill God's son, and you would, then you can't possibly be the seed of Abraham. You have to be the seed of somebody else. So you're not following in the footsteps of Abraham. You're not emulating him. Abraham heard what God said. And the point would be that the word of God, Yeshua, was speaking to them there. Abraham heard the word of God. And when he heard the word of God, he received it with faith. And then he began to act upon it and do what God had instructed him to do. And so the true seed of Abraham are those that, whether they're physical descendants or not, are those that will hear the word of God, who will receive it by faith, and then they'll act upon it. You see, Abraham exemplified this. He heard and he did. He makes it very obvious for us that he received the seed, the word, But then he produced the fruit. And all of this was wrought by faith. And that word again in Hebrew is emunah. Emunah is hearing and doing. So you guys, and I'm paraphrasing what Yeshua would be saying to him, you've heard all of what I've said, but you haven't acted upon it. Because murdering me is not something Abraham would do. And so you are emulating not your father Abraham, but you're emulating your father, the adversary. And then that's when things really got ugly. And then they started railing against him and throwing out this accusation that he was born of fornication. And of course, their father is God. And here's what he says in verse 44 of chapter 8. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. I don't know if you'll remember or not, but in several programs ago, we talked about the fact that Cain, he manifests the wishes of his father. And by that, we do not mean Adam. That at some point, Cain had, in rejecting God's word, in rejecting that seed, that he had by default embraced another seed, that is, of the adversary. And so then consequently, Cain is regarded as being of the wicked one, according to 1 John chapter 3. Again, not because the woman and the serpent had physical relations. No. But because at some point in his life, Cain, in rejecting God's word, embraced the adversary's word. And so that seed, because if God's word is his seed, then the adversary's word is his seed, that seed took root and it grew. And eventually it bore fruit. And so when he lured his brother out into a field and murdered him, and tradition says by striking him over the head, he was simply carrying out the wishes of his father. Because the wicked seed, the serpent's seed, desires to destroy the righteous seed. Cain desired to destroy righteous Abel, because Cain was of that wicked one and was carrying out his father's wishes. And now along comes the Messiah. And he's giving the word of God. And you've got people that, if you want to compare it to Cain and Abel, grew up in the same house. Here we've got Messiah talking to people who call themselves Jews and dress the way he does and talk the way he does, growing up in the same house, so to speak. But he's representative of the righteous seed. He is the righteous seed. But they're wanting to kill him. And so who are they acting like? Well, they're acting like Cain. And so Messiah makes it very plain. He makes it very simple. No, your father isn't God. Because if your father was God, then you wouldn't want to be killing me. You wouldn't want to do like Cain did to Abel. No. Your father is the devil. And your wanting to kill me is simply carrying out his wishes. That's his desire, and you're simply going to lend yourself as an operative on his behalf, because that's what's in your heart. Because at some point in time, you rejected the truth. And when you reject the truth, by default, you embrace the lie. And so Yeshua, in concert with Paul, makes it very clear that Abraham's seed is not determined exclusively, let me emphasize that, exclusively by flesh and blood. Just because you are a flesh and blood descendant of Abraham does not mean the Father in heaven regards you as Abraham's seed. As a matter of fact, some who are of physical descendancy can be the children of the devil, and we just read it in John chapter 8. That is not to say that all who are physical descendants are children of the devil. That is to say, whether you're physical or a physical descendant or not, that's not the most important point. It's what's in your heart that determines who the seed of Abraham is. And so again, you may not be a physical descendant of Abraham, but if you've been born again in the Messiah and you exhibit that faith and produce that fruit, then you are regarded as the seed of Abraham. And on the flip side of that, you may be born physically from Abraham, but you have rejected his word. and you exhibit the traits and manifest the fruits of some other seed. And even if you're a physical descendant and do that, then scripturally you're regarded as being of the wicked one. I'm probably going to offend a few of you with what I'm about to say, and I'm not doing it purposely, but I do want to make the point. You see, if it was all about being a physical descendant of Abraham, then people like Barbara Streisand, Steven Spielberg, those people, they would have nothing to be concerned about. They would be, you know, it would be given that they're a shoe-in to go into the kingdom just because they're physical descendants of Abraham. But what kind of fruit do they produce? What do they exhibit? Does it line up with Scripture, or does it look like something else? And here are the facts. If it looks like something else, it's because it was born of something else other than the Word of God. And that means, scripturally, they would not be considered the seed of Abraham. They, if they are guilty of exhibiting the fruit of some other seed, would be scripturally regarded as of the wicked one. I'm not making a judgment on that. I'm using that as an example. Because if you're going to be called the seed of Abraham, if you're going to be regarded as the good seed, if you're going to be regarded as Israel in the Father's eyes, again, regardless of who your mother and father are, you're going to have to be born again of that incorruptible seed. You're going to have to render that fruit of that seed. You're going to have to exhibit the works of Abraham. I used this example several programs back, and that's the two sons of Ronald Reagan. One of them is the adopted son, Michael, and the other is the natural-born son, Ronald Reagan Jr. However, look at their actions. Look at what they believe. Look at what they do. Look at what they say. Look at their fruit, and you will see that it's the adopted son that more closely resembles his father, the president, than does the one who was actually physically descended from him. That's what we're trying to get across to you. That's because that's what the Scripture is trying to get across to us. I'm not suggesting any support for replacement theology. I hope I've made it very clear as we've shared these things with you. I am very much against the idea that we replace Israel. I'm very much against the idea that the church is standing in the stead of Israel. No, I don't agree with that. I'm not suggesting that those who are naturally born Israeli and yet are not of faith, I'm not suggesting they're not of importance. I'm not suggesting that is at all. As a matter of fact, I believe that God, in His time and His way, pertaining to His purpose, is going to gather all of His children. I believe that there are many more who are going to come into faith. So I'm not suggesting that we just, you know, discard this group of people. I'm not an advocate of replacement theology. Paul made it very clear in Romans chapter 11 that we are not to boast against the other branches. You know, we're not to think that, well, branches were broken off, made room for me, and so I'm the most important. No. He says resist the temptation to make that boast, because God is able to graft them in back again. In fact, he points it out in verse 24. That he's able to graft those natural branches that were broken off because of their lack of faith. He can graft them back in. And I don't think he would say that unless he was intending to do that. So I guess what I'm trying to get across here is, don't think that I'm suggesting that those who the world regards as Israel, who don't accept Yeshua's Messiah, are of no consequence. I'm not. Nor am I suggesting that the modern state of Israel is of little importance, because I'm not. It's very important. But I'm also very clear, I want to be very clear about this, that the world calls Israel is not necessarily the biblical definition for Israel. That Israel encompasses a lot more than what people have heretofore acknowledged or even thought of. That Israel, in God's eyes, are those who are of faith, those that exhibit the faith of Abraham, who hear what God says, and then who do what God says. And like I said, I believe that there are going to be many more who perhaps today are physical descendants but yet don't acknowledge Yeshua as Messiah. I believe that many of them are going to come out of darkness into light, that are going to come into that faith. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 11, Paul makes it very clear that the Messiah is going to see to it that all Israel is going to be saved. So whoever he has determined is the seed of Abraham, whether it's natural branch, grafted branch, he has determined who Israel is and is to be, and he is going to save them. He's going to bring that to pass. But perhaps because you and I step into the realization of who and what we truly are in Messiah and what it means to be Israel, we need to get away from this idea that there's this group of people over here called Israel, and we're the church, and they've got a different set of rules, and God deals with them differently than he does with us, and we've got these two bodies. Well, that didn't stand up under the scrutiny of Scripture, because the Messiah, again, he came to bring those two and make them one and to present them unto the Father as one body. Why is that important? Because, ladies and gentlemen, if we are truly living in the end of days, there has to be that good seed that the world can be witness to, so that the world, those who dwell in darkness, can see the distinction between light and darkness, between holy and profane, between clean and unclean, so that they can see what is right and what is wrong. Because when you know the truth, and it's very plain, then it's very easy to detect the lie. This is how we are to glorify our Father, by walking in the fullness of what he's called us to be his witnesses. There's one other thing I want to read to you from Romans chapter 11. Of those who are natural born sons, this is what Paul has to say. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. So again, just because the physical sons of Abraham aren't necessarily walking in that, doesn't mean that God has cast them off. No. And just because the sons of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, aren't necessarily, exclusively, those who are physical descendants, doesn't mean that those others are just to be ignored and disregarded. No. Might it be that those who are not the physical descendants and yet who exhibit the faith of Abraham have a very integral role in playing in those being grafted back in? See, all Israel shall be saved. But it's important that everybody plays their part. Just like those who overcome the adversary, they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. If his purposes are first and foremost in our hearts, it really doesn't matter if I'm right about this or that. What matters is that what is right is done and performed, that his purposes can come to pass. I hope this is making some sense to you. But now, Paul also made this very clear, that just because somebody may not be walking in the call that's been placed upon them, doesn't mean that he removes the call from them. The gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. He doesn't change his mind. As long as there's breath in my body, I have the potential to fulfill the call and use appropriately the gifts that he has placed in my life. So as we come to the close of this program, I want to read something that I had just jotted down here that summarizes what I've been trying to say in the last several minutes, and that is this. Though popular theology defines Israel as physical descendants, and they are alone entitled to the blessing, and then replacement theology says that physical Israel is of no value, and the church is now the benefactor of the blessing, the biblical reality is this: that Abraham's heirs are physical descendants and those that are grafted into the cultivated olive tree. And that there is only one body because there's only one seed. And that collectively, those that are physical descendants who are of faith and those who are not physical descendants but who are of faith, that collectively they're both, the two are made one and called Israel and are the benefactors of the promises that God made to Abraham because they are identified collectively as Israel. They are the good seed. And once again, why is it important that there be that good seed? Because it's always been through the good seed that we obtain good fruit. And when there's good fruit, then there are others who will be attracted to that fruit, who will ingest that fruit, and figuratively speaking, ingest that good seed. And if it's good ground, it will take hold, and it too will produce fruit. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you'll come back and visit me next week. Till then, shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a Bill Cloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.